Welcome back to the MLB.com StatCast podcast. I'm your host, Mike Petriello, sitting right here, Matt Myers, MLB.com national editor. Hi, Matt.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know, it's the second week in a row we actually have live in-person guests in our studio.
Yeah, guests, multiple guests.
So if you were here and you could see what's going on in our MLB.com studio, we have the entire Fangraphs crew, and there's about five or so Fangraphs guys running amok in the studio over there, and we have two of them sitting right here with us. We have Dave Cameron, and we have Jeff Sullivan, two of the most well-known Fangraphs guys. Guys, hi.
Hi.
Why are you here in New York? You're both, or soon to be, about Oregon natives.
Yeah.
What's bringing the entire Fangraphs crew to New York City?
The Staten Island Yankees had a really terrible idea to host a Nerd Day at their ballpark as like the actual official promotion. So on Sunday, instead of like celebrating Father's Day, like a good son or a good father, you can come hang out with the Staten Island Yankees with Jonah Carey and Ben Lindbergh and Dan Zimborski and a whole bunch of Fangraphs crew and have a good time talking baseball and, you know, making your father feel unloved.
Wow, that's dark and a really good selling point. I will say this about the Staten Island Yankee Ballpark. It's fantastic because it's an amazing view of the entire downtown Manhattan skyline.
There you go.
And it's a wonderful place to watch a game. Is there truth to the fact that David Appelman is throwing out the first pitch?
I actually didn't know that.
It was a rumor. I have no idea if it's true.
That could be true. I kind of hope that's true.
Maybe he's doing the Digi Bet.
If he does, we need the stat cast on it. I want to know David Appelman's spin rate.
I don't know. I don't know if we can track that low.
We'll make some calls.
Okay.
So we have Dave and Jeff here, and we're going to swap out and get some other Fangraph guys in with us soon. We're going to play a little bit of a game here. We've got some questions for you. We're going to make it fun.
All right.
We have some pitching questions. Matt, you want to ask?
It's trivia. So we just want to, you know, see how well you guys know the game. Yeah, no stats.
All right.
And if you're wrong, then you get ejected from the building.
Fantastic.
And, we actually get your site shut down, so no pressure.
All right.
You want to go for the first one?
Sure. Since it's the StatCast podcast, we'll start with the StatCast-driven question. Which pitcher has the highest curveball spin rate?
Colin McHugh.
No. Oh. See, he did. That's interesting. We all know that he got picked by the Astros because they like spin rate, which is kind of my go-to whenever it's like, what does spin rate matter? Well, the Astros think it matter.
Yeah.
Think it matters.
Oh, it should be a Philly because they're like
I was going to go for Garrett Richards, but I don't know if he counts because he's on the team.
He is hurt and exploded. A Philly's a good guess, though.
Velasquez?
No.
Nola?
No.
Jared Eichhoff.
Oh, wow.
You guessed everyone but that.
David Hernandez.
No, my God. How many Phillies are there? Starting pitchers.
There's only four Phillies.
Yeah, that's true. I just went through their whole rotation, basically. Oberholzer?
It's like you're trying not to name him. Jeremy Hellickson.
He's having a little bit of a moment.
Yeah,
good year.
Is he going to be the best starting pitcher traded at the deadline?
Well, you'd think Rich Hill will get traded. Assuming Rich Hill's healthy.
Rich Hill, by the way, number four on this list.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Curveball spin.
Also a big curveball guy. Yeah, there are no good starting pitchers available in this market. It'll be interesting to see if some team just has, like, because there's, like, 15 good relievers. There's so many good relievers are going to be available at the deadline. Maybe a team will just trade for, like, five of them and be like, okay, you're each going in and there's our starter.
But what about, I mean, Sonny Gray, I guess he hasn't been that great this year, but he seems to be the name.
He would be the guy if Oakland. But Oakland's said, like, for a couple of years now, everyone calls and, like, we're not trading Sonny Gray. Why would you back off of that when his value is like at its peak or is nadir? I guess is like you would trade him when he's doing well, not when right now.
Is he going to the Red Sox or the Red Sox?
Well, that would be the easy rumor to start. So let's agree he's going to Boston.
All right, Jeff, this one's for you. Same question, but for fastballs, who's got the highest starting pitchers four seam fastball spin?
Four seam fastball. So is it Blake Snell?
No, of guys who have pitched for more than like a minute.
More than a minute.
But that is a good guess. I will say on the list, not number one, but on the list is someone you already mentioned today before we got on the air.
Drew Pomeranz be on the list.
A pitcher who could get traded.
Yeah. He should be traded.
He would be the best one. Traded, yes.
You should sell high on, and I love Drew Pomeranz, right? But he's got such an injury history. I feel like you have to sell high on him yesterday.
Justin Verlander. It's obviously Justin Verlander.
Oh, that's a good guess. Hey, good job, Jeff. I'll say we have the four guys on the list, and Pomeranz is one. The other three guys are not currently teammates, but were teammates for several years together. So, Verlander, you already mentioned him.
So then
Scherzer.
Scherzer, yeah.
And
that's going to be Anibal Sanchez.
It's not going to be Anibal Sanchez. No. Former Tiger, once traded for Ioannis Cespedes.
Michael Fulmer.
Rick Porcello.
No. Michael
Rick Porcello. Yeah.
Rick Porcello.
That's right. The pitch that he wasn't supposed to throw last year. At least he tried to throw and it didn't really work out for him.
Well, it's a good point, right? Because, you know, the high spin fastballs kind of get strikeouts and he actually did better by throwing it less.
Yeah.
Because he was kind of throwing it right down the middle and that ended poorly for him.
Yeah. That's, high spin, bad location.
Yeah, this
is yeah exactly that's the tricky thing with all the, numbers we have. Like, you can look at Porcelli, he's got the high spin fastball, or he has like the developing Adam Wainwright curveball kind of thing. But you're just looking at the average statistical benchmarks, and you're getting no sense of where is the pitch going or how consistently is he throwing it in this area. And so, like, the real difference between like a Wainwright curveball and a Porcello curveball is Wainwright trusts his. Even though they look the same on average, Wainwright can kind of change the way it looks.
Did you just come on the StatCast podcast and explain why the StatCast metrics aren't good enough?
No. See,
that's what it sounded like to me.
That's a pitch effects metric, actually. That's a little different. But yeah,
Porcello's like one of these guys that feels like there's no middle ground. He's either like great for a month and then just like
atrocious.
For a month.
Yeah. He's the Justin Upton of pitchers. What?
I don't know if he's ever fallen that far.
My wife and I were talking about that last night, actually.
All right, this one's fun just because Matt and I were talking about this morning, and we were talking about it before we looked up the stat, and we were both so happy to see who was number one. Our friend Bill Petty has a stat he calls edge percentage.
Yeah.
If you don't know what edge percentage is, it's basically 3 inches or so on either side of the strike zone, because the whole idea is like throwing strikes is good, but throwing good strikes is better, right? Because meatballs don't help anybody. Of starting pitchers, who has the highest percentage of pitches right on the edge, right on the black?
Starters or relievers?
Starters.
Starters only?
Marco Estrada?
No, see, that's a good one, but it is kind of a guy who throws not so hard, throws a lot of fastballs, and you don't know how he survives, and I think this is how.
Mike Fiers.
No.
Bartolo Colon?
Yes.
Oh, woo!
Bartolo Colon.
We just watched him last night.
Well, we did. We actually went to the Mets game last night. He stroked a double, right? Wasn't it?
Stroked double through 7-plus innings, gave up one run against a good Pirates lineup.
Yeah.
Through 95 pitches that were not fastballs.
Yeah. 94 of 99 pitches were fastballs all around, like 89 to 91.
Doesn't make any sense at all.
But he throws almost a third of his pitches like right on the black, so he gets poor contact or called strikes.
Yeah.
And it kind of makes me wish that I could do that, because I feel like I could be Bartolo Colon, right? No?
You would need to add like 200 pounds.
Well, okay, fine. I guess so. Rich Hill, by the way, number 3 on that list.
Really?
Yeah.
But not a guy I would think of as a command guy.
No.
Yeah.
Effectively wild, perhaps?
Yeah, maybe. That's another podcast.
Yeah, everybody talks about the curveball. He's getting strikeouts with the fastball.
Maybe he doesn't mean to be on the edge. He's just
he's trying to throw it down the middle, and then it just goes there.
Okay, I got one more pitching one here, and then we've got some defense questions. There's 4 starting pitchers. It's like the best thing a starting pitcher can do is get strikeouts and get grounders, right? 4 starting pitchers have a strikeout percentage above 30 and a ground ball percentage above 50.
Starting pitchers.
Okay. Yeah, 3 of them are real easy, I hope, and the fourth one's interesting.
Kershaw.
Yeah.
Jose Fernandez? Is he getting grounders this year?
No, he's getting hit hard, actually, like real hard.
Well, he's not
getting hit hard on the ground.
Yeah.
So is Nola still above 30%?
Well, see, that was the one who was actually the fourth one.
I like
how you kind of jumped
like Kershaw
ahead
Kershaw
there.
Nola first.
Right, it's like, Kershaw. Yeah. See, Nola was interesting because it's Kershaw. So
Arrieta Syndergaard.
Yeah, exactly right. And then Aaron Nola.
Right.
Who is kind of, I think, actually had a couple tough starts.
Yeah,
here,
a couple of
he just got lit up.
But he is a guy who I think I kind of thought would be like a good starting pitcher, and he's turned into really good starting pitcher, sort of almost out of nowhere, right?
I mean, can you guys think of a pitcher, particularly a right-handed pitcher, who struck out that many hitters throwing as slow as he? I mean, he throws like 91. Like,
yeah.
I can't even think of anyone who else has that profile, striking out 30% of hitters, throwing 91.
Well, in fairness, Felix Hernandez throws 91 now.
Yeah,
and he's
true.
Been throwing 91
so,
for a
like
while.
The recent version of Felix Hernandez.
Like Tim Lincecum when he was before he turned. But
right.
Nola, I think my favorite thing about Nola is that he has that weird profile where batters take so many of his pitches, even though he's throwing a lot of strikes, but there's just something about it, probably his curveball spin and the deceptiveness between his curveball and his fastball, that batters just take a lot of pitches in the zone, which is a difficult, like, I don't think you can tell someone to just go out and do that, like throw strikes but don't let them swing.
Right, yeah.
But then they still swing out of zone, so it's really interesting. It's like Jose Fernandez did this in his first year when he was a rookie. He was getting a lot of takes in the zone. And since then, Fernandez has gotten a little worse at that. Not that anyone's complaining, but Nola's got a really unusual profile working for him.
I like how we basically compared him to, like, 2 broken pitchers. So Aaron Nola has the skill set of, like, Lincecum after he was good, and, like, the current version of Felix Fernandez.
Wow, that's high praise.
Although this does make me now want to, what you're saying, go look at his last couple starts. Maybe teams are, you know, going to Mike Petrino swing at the first pitch.
Right.
I love that.
The strategy, because that's pretty true.
Is that what I'm known for now?
At least for me, basically.
Okay, great.
Swinging the first pitch is your thing.
Okay, I like having a thing.
As far as I'm concerned, that's your thing.
Okay,
I thought Coors Field was your thing.
Well, Coors Field is also my thing. I think the Rockies are in town next week or the week after, and I feel
did
like
they bring the ballpark with them.
I don't know, but I feel like I have to go bug all the Rockies about it just because I think they'll get annoyed by all my questions.
What happens if someone doesn't swing at the first pitch in Coors Field? Do you just lose your mind?
Well, if it's strike, yeah.
it should be like your new, like, you know, like everyone on their Twitter bio has like those like pithy things. You could be like, you know, Coors Field enthusiast, first pitch swinger, you know, podcaster. That could be you.
Okay, I'll work on that. All right, go for it. We have some defense.
Defense.
Yeah.
This one may be obvious because we actually were talking about this before, but top five outfield arms, minimum 30 throws, basically average of their 90th percentile throws.
Aaron Hicks.
Yeah.
Aaron Hicks, number one.
That's good that everybody knows that. Means we've done a good job.
Yeah.
Starling Marte.
Yeah, number three.
All of the other three, all Astros?
No. None of them are
really
Astros.
Really?
They may not have enough throws because, you know, like Marisnik was the guy from last year, but he's sort of been up and down, so he may not have had enough opportunity.
Gregory Polanco?
No.
Hayward?
No, he's actually, I looked him up the other day. He was lower than I thought he'd be.
Really?
So I feel like he's been hurt so much this year and banged up that he's just not.
Okay. Well, Puig. So Puig's got the arm.
Puig, yeah.
Cespedes?
No, actually.
Hmm. So there's been three of the five so far.
Yeah, one of the other ones plays at altitude, so that might be helpful.
Carlos Gonzalez.
Carlos Gonzalez. Yeah. And the other one has no business being an outfielder whatsoever in the league.
Matt Kemp.
You're close, sort of.
Close, kind of.
Oh, man.
He's not an outfielder by trade.
Right.
He came up or in practice. Very much an infielder or
He came up
hitter.
As a third baseman, but really a DH.
Adam Duvall?
No. American Leaguer?
Oh, Miguel Sano.
Miguel Sano. Miguel Sano actually has a rocket arm. I think.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yes.
Even though he had Tommy John surgery, it didn't really slow him down at all. And now he's playing the outfield for inexplicable reasons.
Well, he's got the rocket arm, but not really the laser guidance, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. We're just measuring velocity, not so much accuracy. Same question for shortstops.
Lindor's got a strong arm, right? No?
No.
He doesn't have a strong arm, apparently.
Well, he might.
He's not showing up on this list.
Well, okay, well, Simmons is active now, so is he up there?
He's not Pukizai. He's barely played at all this year.
Oh, all
right. So. I don't know, is Rafael Furcal still around?
He's one I'd be curious
about. Yeah,
I wish we could go back.
I always enjoyed watching
Sean Dunston. That's what I wanted.
I saw him throw in the minors a few times, and I was like, this is so much fun. Everyone should just hit grounders to short. This should be the whole game, is ground balls to short. We watch Rafael Furcal throw.
That's a little, he would take a pause.
Yeah, right. Here it comes.
So the top two guys here, one of whom is not traditionally known as a shortstop, but is playing there. And the other one, I believe one of you has written that he should not be the starter anymore on his team.
So Ryan Goins, maybe?
No.
That's the... Who am I trying to bench?
Who are we trying to bench? Think good teams who are located very near where David Appleman lives.
Danny Espinosa.
Danny Espinosa has the best shortstop arm in baseball.
Okay.
He's got a rocket. 89.3 miles an hour. This is the average.
Which one of you has been saying you should get benched?
I've actually been defending. Like, everyone really? Wants I thought you were... No, everyone wants like Trey Turner up. Espinosa's like a fine player. I think it's like one of those things. Like, Turner's good, a good prospect, but Espinosa's not like terrible, and he has power, and he hits lefties. Like, they're winning. Yeah. They're fine.
His exit velocity is up. His launch angle is up. He's getting into that ideal range.
Okay, bringing that for the StatCast podcast. Right. That's good.
Did your homework. I like it.
The other ones are Didi Gregorius.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Manny Machado was the second guy. Yeah, not traditionally a shortstop. Okay, right, but he's played better more often than not this year.
Yeah.
And Jonathan Villar, who's shockingly having an amazing season.
Yeah.
He's fantastic.
The Brewers, man. They're just finding guys.
No, yeah. They're tanking. That's the problem, see.
Well, just like the Phillies. It's too bad the Phillies tanked and had to go, you know, get Velasquez.
and all these good arms.
And then the last one is Alcides Escobar, who sort of is this year, basically he's testing the limits, I think, of kind of how bad you can be at the plate and still play him. Like, I think I saw a statement that he's on pace to set the record for outs made in the season.
Well, I guess if you're going to hit first all the time.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying.
And make outs.
It's kind of crazy. He's going to make like 400 outs.
Well, he might lose that race to Giancarlo Stanton if he keeps up the last mile.
Yeah, well, he's not going to hit first, unfortunately. All right, this is the last one. It's kind of a defense question, and so we sort of have come up with this unofficial way to look at outfield defense. And so we're looking at batted balls to the outfield, 200 feet to 400 feet, which is kind of a good proxy. They did not end up being home runs and weren't ground balls. So that in theory, teams could actually have chances of catching those balls. What were the who are the best outfields at preventing hits?
Team outfields?
Yeah.
So Kansas City would be the obvious guess.
Fourth, actually.
Huh.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you one of these you're never going to guess, ever.
San Diego.
No. Well, that would be funny.
That would be hilarious.
Also, does Kevin Pillar make the Blue Jays?
Does he make the Blue Jays?
Well, does he put them on the list?
No, he does not. The best three teams are all American. I'm sorry, National League teams.
So Pittsburgh?
No.
What?
Hold on, there's only 30. We can guess these.
You've already guessed four of them.
Only 15, actually. So you already said National League.
Okay.
One of these teams paid an exorbitant amount of money for a defense-first outfielder just this.
The Cubs.
The Cubs. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, that's
number one by a lot.
That's the obvious one.
Yeah, no, the Cubs.
Oh, yeah, because you.
What about the Giants?
One, Mike Petrello wrote about this not too long ago.
The Giants, cool. Giants are actually amongst the
Giants
worst.
Giants are like dead last.
Yeah.
Oh, next to last.
Really?
Because if you think about it, like, you know, Pagan is kind of past his prime,
yeah,
and Spence
right.
is
getting old. Yeah.
Everybody's hurt, and they.
I was just thinking they had outfielders with no power, and usually teams with outfielders with no power.
Well, they've also had injuries, so they have like converted infielders playing. Right.
It's also a big outfield, so I wonder how much that plays. Right.
Yeah, this is not the most scientific like way we've ever done it, but it's like a good proxy. The second place team is the Dodgers because Puig has actually been outstanding, and Peterson's been.
Trace Thompson's the center fielder playing left, right?
So, yeah, right. And
see, Puig has actually kind of become Jeff Francoeur.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
So sorry,
I can't think of two players who have different clubhouse reputations than Jeff Francoeur and Cassio.
Wow, that is a there's a lot.
Like you just found
lot.
The subject for your next piece.
There's a lot to unpack.
What unpopular Jeff Francoeur.
You are required to write that piece for Monday.
Done. Well, I was going to write about Stanton, but now that's done.
The team you were never going to guess is the Atlanta Braves.
Because, and you're in well, he's been hurt. But,
yeah, but no. Malik Smith.
Oh, yeah.
Has actually been, and then also Jeff Francoeur.
Right. Marquez occasionally getting to a ball. Because he hasn't any homers, so he's got to catch the ball.
Is he still at zero?
No, yeah, I think
he's
at one
got, like,
now.
One or two.
Yeah.
Well,
might have two, yeah. Nick Marquez, not a great free agent signing. They should have traded him and tanked even harder.
All right.
that's a note to go out on this.
Yeah, really. Okay, that's the end of our quiz. Dave Cameron and Jeff Sullivan, we're going to kick you out and bring in two of your Fangraphs friends.
All right.
So we're going to take a quick break here. But thank you for the quiz, and thank you guys for being here. And go out and see these guys on Sunday at Staten Island.
Thanks for having us. It was fun.
All right, we'll be back in a second. All right, we have swapped out some Fangraphs guys, so I still have Matt here sitting next to me. And we have Eno Saris over there. Hi, Eno.
Hey, thanks
Eno,
for having
tell
us.
Tell us quickly about your book. What are you pimping?
Oh, that's right. I get to pimp? All right. I'm always pimping. Craft Beer Lover's Guide to Baseball is just basically the best craft beer inside beer stadiums. Beer stadiums, inside baseball stadiums, and around them. So I basically find a way to help you crawl in and crawl out of a baseball game.
Great. Awesome. Eno, obviously a writer for Fangraphs, and is excellent at going into locker rooms and asking real weird nerd questions to baseball players. And sometimes it's really, really cool, and then sometimes they're like, I don't know what you're talking
sometimes
about.
Sometimes I get pantsed.
Right. As a feeling I know all too well. Yeah. I always do the same thing. And then also here we have August Fagerstrom. Hi, August.
Hello.
August.
I don't have a book.
Well, that's okay. You have, some, you have something better. You have had a repeated byline here on MLB.com.
That's true, I have.
So yeah. every week we take one of August's many, many outstanding articles, and we pick the best one. We put it on MLB.com. And you also spent, well, last year working for us for Cleveland.
Yes, right? And it's good to see the offices that I called a remote home for you.
Well, it's good to have you guys back. And as we were talking to Dave and Jeff about, you guys are all here as part of the Fangraphs weekend, which replaces the traditional Arizona spring training trip. You're all here in the city, and you're going to have Sabermetrics Day at Staten Island. And I was trying to talk them into seeing if Appleman could throw the first pitch, but I'm not sure that's going to actually happen.
Well, I am going to do the dizzy bat, so.
Oh, really? Is that true, or is that just, like, having fun?
Well, I put my name out there for him. I think he's going to take me. I hope he picks me.
That
I'm like, hey, pick me, pick
I would
me.
I like to measure.
Yeah, me spinning around before I puke.
All right, we're going to have some fun. We have some silly hitting questions here to ask you about. And the first one is, you know, we like to track exit velocity, and it's real good to hit the ball real hard. So which team has the highest percentage of batted balls over 100 miles an hour?
Cubs are best at everything, so I'm going to say Cubs.
They are, but not this.
Oh. I'm going to say Miami Marlins because they've got one. They've got the stud.
Well, they do, but he doesn't actually make contact anymore. Oh. So it's hard to get 100 miles an hour when you're getting.
So I'm wrong? It's not the Marlins.
Oh, you're extremely wrong.
Yeah. I'm
it is an NL East team.
It's NL East?
Yeah, it's got to be the Nationals.
It is the Nationals. Okay. The Nationals, I think. Like, Ryan Zimmerman has actually been hitting the ball real hard, even though it hasn't necessarily had a great season. And then obviously, you know, Bryce Harper hits the ball real hard, and Wilson Ramos has had a fantastic season.
Wonder what LASIK can do for you.
That I have a proud patient of LASIK, and I cannot say enough about it.
I don't want to hear about it because it just makes me shiver. They do what?
Yeah, they
hear what?
Peel back your eyeballs.
Yeah.
You know,
in August, as you alluded to, the Orioles number two. So it is truly the
Trumbo, actually.
Truly the Beltway.
You know, all five of these
nice
teams.
Nice wordplay.
Did you realize that all five teams are Eastern teams?
Are the Red Sox in the top five?
Trumbo actually spent the offseason trying to manipulate his launch angle and exit velocity.
Doing pretty well for him.
Do you have explanations for how Mark Trumbo became like a decent guy who could hit dingers every now and then to, you know, a superstar?
Well, maybe because he spent the offseason.
Well, right.
How does one do this? Like, did you talk to him? Like, well, how does one do this?
He had like a swing tracker that actually tracked exit velocity and launch angle, and they just basically sat there and watched it. And like, Zep is a way you can do it. So I actually, Hunter Pence has talked about, you know, being able to track how quick he is to the ball, because Zep can track your bat, like has an oscilloscope in it.
So Zep is what, like a sensor, right?
Because the sensor that's in the bat, yeah. And so he can track, actually see how quick his bat path is to the zone. So he was trying to manipulate. So they have, you know, there are more and more tools these days for hitters. It used to, I think, be skewed towards pitching, but now with some of y'all stats, like, they're being able to, like, really get into it.
Yeah, who do we say that? Chris Bryant actually spent the winter trying to smooth out his bat path because he doesn't want to hit towering shots anymore. He wants to hit line drives, and he's actually cut down his strikeout percentage by like a third.
Yeah, I think that's a happy coincidence. I mean, or it isn't. I mean, it's about, you know, being in the zone longer is an easier way to make contact. So
that turns out not striking out so much is actually kind of a good thing.
Yeah.
go for it. Number two. Here.
Number two, minimum 100 plate appearances. Who has the highest weighted runs created plus in the majors? While you think about that, weighted runs created plus, for those who don't know, it's on a scale of 100 is average, anything above it is good, better than average, anything below it is below average. It basically measures everything that a hitter does.
Can I say this question was a whole lot more fun 2 days ago? Because it's changed a little bit since 2 days ago.
Is it still David Ortiz?
It is still David Ortiz.
Okay. Yeah.
But 2 days ago, we looked at this, and it was actually Robbie Grossman.
Oh, my God.
Oh, minimum 100. Okay, yeah.
Who's number three?
He's still number three on the list.
And who's number two? We'll also be somewhat surprised.
We saw, I think number two made an outstanding catch last night in the game that
Michael Conforto?
I was going to say, it's now limited to the Mets and the Pirates.
Oh, Gregory Polanco.
No.
100 plate appearances.
Matt Joyce.
Matt Joyce.
Matt Joyce, number two right now.
Who homered last night as well.
Right, homered last night, made a fantastic catch on left. I had a train wreck of a season last year for the Angels.
But he's always been a guy that has hit righties. So you basically,
platoon guy.
If you put him in a position to succeed, and that team where like they have good outfielders, you only need to like spot him, you know.
They do have good outfielders. I think we were saying that if you take the top four outfielders from Miami and four for Pittsburgh, so eight outfielders, right now 7 and 8 are McCutcheon and Stanton.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Which is absurd if you think about it.
It's weird. In the offseason, I wrote a thing, well, what should the Pirates do? You know, what kind of things? And I was like, you know, John Jaso, great against righties. He can play first base. He can't play catcher anymore. Matt Joyce, great against righties. They can put him in the outfield. Those are literally the two things that I came up with. And people were like, oh, that's so boring. Really? That's what all they're going to do? They're going to suck then. I'm like, maybe not.
Well, Matt Joyce is a good signing. I still don't know how they're going to get out of that wild card again because the Cubs have just made everything disastrous.
Well, in one game, anything can happen.
Yeah?
It's new.
All right. Who has the highest average home run distance of a minimum of 10 home runs?
I just looked at this the other day.
Why do you know this? Are you cheating on my list?
Is it Eric Hosmer?
No, not Eric Hosmer. Highest average home run distance is 430 feet.
I'm trying not to say Stanton. Who else could it be?
Does Stanton even have 10 home runs?
Yeah, minimum of how many? Because I know Mazzara has hit a lot of bombs.
That's an interesting name. You should say that as your actual guess.
Nomar Mazzara.
It's final
answer. Yeah, okay, good. There you go.
Yeah. 430 feet. Obviously, he has exactly 10 home runs, and that 491 foot home run certainly helped.
Yeah. We spent a whole show here a couple weeks ago going into the math behind how he got to like the angle and we looked up the temperature and the wind and like how he got the 491.
He does not hit cheapies.
No, he does not.
It was funny because I interviewed him. I said he had like at the time he had like 3 home runs, and I said, yeah, you don't hit a lot of fly balls. Do you find, like, you know, lifting the ball a struggle? Like, you know, is the power going to come? Like, I literally asked him that question. And in my head was like, did you just say that? And then he was like, the power's there. Yeah. And then the next week, he hit 7 home runs.
Because he talked to you and realized the power was there.
He's like, that idiot. Show him. Struggle to get a loft on the ball.
Second on the list, got off the real hot start, and I don't know how long it's been since he hit a home run, is Byung-ho Park. Oh. Mm. Crushes home runs. Destroys
when doesn't he, do anything else.
Yeah, when he hits, it's got the home runs. Yeah. San Carlo.
And then Cargo, Trumbo, and Kemp would be 3, 4, and 5.
Is that adjusted for Park?
Huh? Like
with Cargo?
What's that?
Like, is it like adjusted for Park?
No, it's raw.
He certainly gets the cores.
It helps Nomar too, right? Because the heat is good for it.
Yeah, the ball carries in Texas.
As we've looked into this, it's amazing how much temperature matters for distance. You know, wind and angle and velocity and all that stuff. And
But Kemp has just altered his swing plane. Like he's just trying to hit homers. Like that. Yeah. He started swinging everything low and in, and it's just golf shot after golf shot. He's gonna hit 210. And with 35 homers.
And six walks.
Well, the thing is, he just went literally a month without a walk. He got one the other night. And then I think he walked like 3 times in 3 days or something like that.
I'll show them. He probably heard somebody talking about it.
Yeah. I thought that was interesting that he went so long without a walk. Because mm-hmm. you're right, he has changed everything.
Him and Kershaw.
Basically the same guy.
Yeah.
All right, so this one is a little bit of a different format, I'll ask you. This team has the most stolen bases in baseball and the highest strikeout percentage. What team is that?
They have both.
Yeah, they have both. They don't get on
Phillies.
Base. No.
Brewers?
It is the Brewers. Look at this guy. Look that's an August figure.
Question. Villar.
A lot of strikeouts.
Yeah. They're also second in walk rate. So they have this like weird profile team. As a team.
It's like the new kind of future outcomes, just instead of
Of the teams who aren't, you know, doing that well this year, they are by far the most fun to watch.
They're really interesting.
They're hilarious, at least on offense. The pitching staff needs work. But
did David Stearns come from the Astros?
Yes, he did.
Because they've already traded like similar players all to each other. Jacob Nottingham left when Stearns was with the Astros. They traded Jacob Nottingham for Scott Kazmir. Then Stearns goes to the Brewers and he trades Chris Davis for Jacob Nottingham.
Right, and he was on the Houston side when they made that deal, the Carlos Gomez trade.
Yeah.
Before he left.
Yeah.
So he went to the other side, and he's like, well, I know who these guys are.
And don't they look kind of like how the Astros were built? Like, get a bunch of guys who don't make contact, and maybe one of them will either improve or...
Like
or
Chris Carter.
Chris Carter.
Former Astro
Dominican Santana.
Future Met Chris Carter.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
Then they would have had both Chris Carters.
That's true.
Nope. The other one people don't remember so well.
Who has the lowest batting average? We're actually using batting average on the show, but that's okay. It makes sense in this context because we're not talking about walks or strikeouts. Who's the lowest batting average on batted balls over 100 miles an hour, presuming you've done that at least 50 times?
Oh, goodness.
And just the league average is 620.
Yeah, you hit the ball over 100 miles an hour, you're going to hit 620. Yeah. That's real good.
Yeah.
So who's had the least amount of success?
Let's go with Noah Syndergaard.
No,
it's a batter. Okay. Well, he hits sometimes.
Yeah.
He's getting enough play appearances.
Right. Right. I don't think he's done that 50 times so far this year.
Well, that's my guess, you know?
Yeah, good guess, August.
Isn't it Stanton?
No, it's not
Stanton. His exit velocity is still high. He's just having a really bad year.
He struck out over the last 30 days like 46%.
But it's not even about that. It's more about just like bad luck.
Bad
balls.
Or maybe someone who gets shifted a lot.
Someone who plays for a team that August would watch semi-regularly.
Oh, Carlos Santana.
Carlos Santana.
Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds like someone I know.
He's only 500 unbatted balls above 100 miles per hour. So he's been possibly unlucky, but possibly just they shift him. I mean, those are the kinds of guys that have suffered most from the shift.
Yeah, he's got killed by the
other names on the list.
He is a switch hitter.
There's a surprising number of right-handed hitters on the shift on this list, although there are guys that would get shifted.
Joey Bautista. That's
Jose Bautista. But they are also starting to shift righties more.
That's what I'm saying. Like Bautista... Nick Markakis shows up.
Is Trout on there anywhere?
No, Hanley Ramirez and Matt Holliday.
Nick Markakis, I think, might be a launch angle thing a little bit, though, because he's a kind of an extreme ground ball guy.
Yeah.
So he's just pounding the ball into the ground. I mean, I think he's healthy. That's something you can say from that, is he's healthy, but he needs to...
Yeah, I'm surprised he's had 50 balls in play above 100 miles. That's actually what shocked me most about this.
But I remember last year we were looking at this around this time, and the leader, I think, was Robinson Cano. Who's like 120 points or so below average on balls at over 100 miles an hour. And it was a good way to look at it because everybody was freaking out that he was terrible.
Now they're all hits.
He's still crushing the ball. I think he's going to be okay. And, you know, we know he's dealing with off-the-field stuff, and he's still crushing the ball. And he might be the AL MVP this year. I mean, he's had an amazing season. You want to do number four here?
This one's kind of obscure, but... Again, then again, all of these.
Oh, look at
these. The last one was definitely not.
At these names. I'm not even sure I know all the teams that these names are on.
You'll never get this one. So we'll leave this one short. Highest percentage of batted balls with a negative launch angle. Minimum 50 balls in play.
So it's not Noah Syndergaard.
Still batting.
I know.
Nori Aoki.
No.
Not Christian Yelich anymore because he hits in the air.
No.
Christian Yelich having an incredible.
Yeah.
Catcher for the local nine here. Not in Ohio.
It is Plowacki.
Kevin Plowacki.
Slow-footed catchers who pound.
Well, how about related story? He's got a weighted runs created plus of 62.
I was gonna say, is that a good combo? I don't think it is.
I was gonna guess Slow Eric Kratz, I knew you didn't say it was the Mets, but Eric Kratz is terrible, and so I was just like, hey.
Yeah.
List, Christian Vasquez, another catcher, not a good combo. Tyler Goodell, David Freese, and Daniel Castro.
Yeah, not a lot of speed there.
Daniel Castro's the one I'm trying to think if I know what team. He's on the Braves. Is that right?
Yeah.
Think about that for a second. We have one last question here for you guys.
Well, two more. One more is a bonus question from Dave Cameron that we'll finish
with. We'll get to that. Great. Yeah. That'll be good. Yeah.
So this is kind of something we look at to see, you know, always talking about combining exit velocity and launch angle, right? Mm. So hit the ball over 100 miles an hour and you hit it between 10 and 30 degrees. It's really, really good. It's like
it's basically hard like hit line spot drives. Of like a hard hit line drive.
It's like the best thing you can do. Which teams have done this the lowest percent of the time as far as their batted balls in play? This one's actually interesting. I was surprised to see this.
The Padres.
No. Interesting. Not expected.
The Giants, perhaps?
It is the Giants. Good guess.
What made you guess that? This is like a team like the third best record in baseball, and they're basically hitting the fewest number of like hard hit line drives.
I think that exit velocity, like velocity, is probably related to temperature, and it's cold. It's the coldest part. Also, their hitting philosophy is a little bit about spraying the ball and putting it in play. And so I think when you pulled, you get a little bit higher exit velocity.
Didn't you write a post in like the offseason about how like looking for power breakout surgers based on that? And it was like Duffy was in there, Panic was in there, and Crawford was in there. So you'd think they'd actually have a lot.
They hit it in that angle a lot, but they weren't necessarily high exit
velocity. Well, that is what I'm saying about Buster Posey, who's one of those guys who actually doesn't hit the ball. Compared to other elite hitters, he is probably one of the like low exit velocity guys.
Yeah.
Huh. You know, he does not hit, he's not putting up 110s regularly, but he's hitting like 95 consistently. So
I'd be interested to see, you know, home away splits on a lot of those guys for exit velocity, see how.
Adjust for temperature.
Yeah, see how much temperature affects. I mean, that people don't think of, yes, they actually do think of San Francisco as cold. But the coldest parks are Seattle, San Francisco, San Diego, and those are Oakland.
Good point.
Those are the coldest four parks in baseball, and those are the ones that.
San Diego colder than Minnesota?
It is, because Minnesota starts colder and then gets warmer, whereas San Diego is
it never gets
blah. I mean, not blah. It's lovely. I love San Diego.
It's just cool. It's just and cool all the time. Like cool.
And all by, out by the water, you know.
First person ever to use the word blah to describe San Diego's climate.
Ina Saris will be in San Diego this July for the Oscars.
You can slap him yourself.
So the last question was courtesy of Dave Cameron. He dropped this right before he walked off set, which is, which batter has the longest time between pitches? Basically, the new human rain delay, the new Mike Hargrove.
Nomar Garcia-Far.
Or Nomar Murray.
Isn't like Tulowitzki pretty bad about that?
I don't know if he's played enough this year.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know.
Is there like a minimum here?
We didn't really get a lot of background detail on this.
So it's not too low.
But it will change your perception of this player. Because now every time I watch this player, I'm like, God,
is it Harper?
No. We had this team on an MLB Plus game recently. And now I wish I could go back and remember if I was annoyed watching him take pitches.
So is that team the Cubs?
No.
That team the Mets?
No.
Okay, well,
it's actually the one team you wouldn't expect to have been on the Plus game because they're not doing so great this year.
Okay, well.
So
which team is that?
Okay. The Angels.
It is the Angels.
It's Trout. It's not Trout.
It's not like Trout.
Oh, that'd have been cool.
It's the other very good hitter. It's the other very good hitter on the Angels.
Like, well,
there is one?
Yeah. Oh, who's that? Wait, there's
Cole Calhoun.
Cole Calhoun. Yeah. Hey, you guys, Cole Calhoun's really underrated. I like Cole.
Apparently, Cole Calhoun takes forever between pitches. Now you're going to find him annoying. Yeah. Now everyone's going
to
find Cole Calhoun.
Yeah, now every time I go to watch Trout,
we blew your spot.
I'll get annoyed by Cole Calhoun on my way to watch
I'm always saying Calhoun's better than you think he is, and now it's going to be the opposite of that.
Yeah.
It's going to be more annoying.
Now we all loathe Cole Calhoun. Yeah.
All right.
I'd love to see the pace numbers on Garcia-Parra, though. I mean, all that stuff he was doing with his hands is crazy.
Nothing is stopping you from going back and timing it with a stuff.
Yeah, you can do it by hand. Right? He played to what, 2007? Maybe we have
some numbers
for his last year. All right. Well, I think we should. Now we have something to do for the rest of the year. You guys passed our test, so you know, we'll let you leave the building.
By getting all of them wrong.
Yeah. Good job, guys. Saris, August Fagerstrom, we had Jeff Sullivan, and we had Dave Cameron, and we didn't have, but they were watching us from over there, Carson Sestouli and David Appleman and Paul Swiden, who run Fangraphs in the Hardball Times, and August shows up at MLB.com as well.
So and guys, they'll be at Staten Island.
Yes, Sabermetrics Day on Sunday.
What better way to spend Father's Day than at Sabermetrics Day?
Oh, is that Father's Day?
And if you're in New York City, there's a meetup at Rattle and Hum West Saturday night, 7 o'clock.
The beautiful Port Authority adjacent Rattle and Hum.
But Port Authority.
The list of people who are attending that you have posted on fangraphs.com is quite impressive.
Yeah, your favorite writer will probably be there.
Yeah, and so you can buy them a drink or
obviously
several.
Because it's me.
Okay, then.
Beat me to it.
This has been this week's MLB.com StatCast podcast. Thanks to all of the Fangraphs guys, and thank you for listening. I'm Mike, he's Matt. We'll catch you next week.